الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، آية 38 في سورة النساء. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. والذين ينفقون أموالهم رئاء الناس ولا يؤمنون بالله ولا باليوم الآخر، ومن يكن الشيطان له قرينا فساء قرينا. And those who spend of their substance to be seen of men, and I would prefer to use the preposition by men, to be seen by men, meaning by other men, and believe not in Allah and the last day, they are the friends of Shaitan, Satan, and whoever takes Satan as an intimate, then what a dreadful intimate he has. The Shaykh rahimahullah said, ثم أخبر عن النفقة الصادرة عن رياء وسمعة وعدم إيمان به. Then Allah spoke of the sadaqah or the nafaqah. Nafaqah is whatever you spend. Whatever you spend. Yunfiq is to spend, the one who spends. As-sadira, the one emanating, عن رياء. Riya and Sum'ah. What is the difference between them? What is Riya?
Showing off.
Fine. What is Sum'ah?
Praise. Living for praise.
They're very close. But they have to do with what body part one is trying to aim at. If one does something to be seen, we call it riya, from yara, ru'ya. You follow me? It is called riya because the person wants, yuridu an yura. He wants to be seen by others. It becomes riya, showing off visually. Sum'a from what? Sami'. He wants to be heard of. So we call it in English, reputation. So sum'ah is reputation, as in what you hear about someone. It doesn't have to be seen. It could be written about him in the internet. It could be circulated in other means. It doesn't matter. He wants to be heard of. So someone will do something with the intention that his news, it may be seen, it may not be seen. It doesn't matter. As long as the people hear it, then we call it sum'ah, with the sukoon on the mean. Sum'ah, reputation. Riya, showing off. So when someone does this, they're actually looking for two things then. They're looking to be seen, and they're looking to be heard of. You following me? Bye. وَعَدَمْ iman. What is iman? Adam, lack of. Adam, lack, the lack of something. When something doesn't exist, we say Adam. Adam, when it comes on its own, is non-existence. Non-existence. When something doesn't exist, we say Adam. When it comes along another noun, it negates it. It is very similar to the prefix in English, un, or im, or in, like possible, impossible, able, unable,
complete,
incomplete, and the list goes on. Adam iman, lack of iman, meaning non-existence of iman. So Allah is telling us about something which is spent. That spending is coming from someone who's either seeking showing off, or seeking reputation, or he just doesn't believe. فقال, so Allah said, وَالَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ رِيَاءَ النَّاسِ, and those who spend their wealth, رِيَاءَ النَّاسِ, to be seen by men, عَلَيْكُمْ سَلَامٌ, أَيْ لِيَرَوْهُمْ وَيَمْدَحُوهُمْ وَيُعَظِّمُوهُمْ, so that the men will see them, and they will praise them, and they will magnify them, to those who spend. وَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا بِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, however they believe not in Allah and the last day. They don't believe in Allah and the last day. أَيْلَيْسَ إِنْفَاقُهُمْ أَوْ إِنْفَاقَهُمْ صَادِرًا عَنْ إِخْلَاصٍ وَإِيمَانٍ بِاللَّهِ وَرَجَاءً لِثَوَابِهِ, meaning their spending is not based, not founded on sincerity and belief in Allah and hope for His reward. أي فهذا من خطوات الشيطان وعمله. This then is one of the footsteps, one of the footsteps which lead to deviance from the shaitan and from his deeds, from the abomination of shaitan. الَّذِي يَدْعُ حِزْبَهُ إِلَيْهَا لِيَكُونُ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ, the one whom he calls his followers, his group, to be among the inhabitants of the hellfire. وَصَدَرَتْ مِنْهُمْ بِسَبَبْ مُقَارَنَةِ لَهُمْ وَأَزِّهِمْ إِلَيْهَا, and this happened to them because their intimate friend was shaitan and his constant pressure for them to do that. يعني Allah says, وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَانِ نُقَيِّدْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِيبٌ, whosoever turns away from the remembrance of Allah, as in the whole deen of Islam, then we will assign for him a shaitan, so he will be his intimate close companion. وَإِنَّهُمْ لَيَصُدُّونَهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ وَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ, and verily the shayateen will be misleading them, will be blocking them, preventing them from the path, while they think they are rightly guided. So because of the shaitan being there all the time, they start feeling that what they're doing is fine, that it's okay to spend seeking the praise of people, not seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلِهَذَا قَالْ وَمَنْ يَكُنِ الشَّيْطَانُ لَهُ قَرِينًا فَسَاءَ قَرِينًا, so whoever is intimate friend of the shaitan, so what a dreadful, horrible intimate friend is he. أي بئس المقارن أو المقارن والصاحب, المقارن والصاحب الذي يريد إهلاك من قارنه ويسعى فيه أشد السعي. What a horrible and dreadful companion and friend is the one who strives to destroy his friend in all means possible. He makes his utmost effort to destroy him. فَكَمَا أَنَّ مَنْ بَخِلَ بِمَا آتَاهُ اللَّهُ وَكَتَمَ مَا مَنَّ بِهِ عَلَيْهِ عَاصٍ آثِمٌ مُخَالِفٌ لِرَبِّهِ, the same way that the one who is miserly concerning what Allah has given him, and he conceals what Allah has bestowed of him of favors, is disobedient, is sinful, and opposing his Lord. فَكَذَلِكَ مَنْ أَنْفَقَ وَتَعَبَّدَ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ, similarly the one who spends and seeks worship to other than Allah. So we have two kinds here. One who doesn't spend, period. One who's miserly and does not speak of Allah's favors upon him. Does not speak of Allah's favors upon him. This is disobedient. And we said that this is not necessarily restricted to fulus. You understand? It is not money. You may be spending your time. You may be spending your knowledge. You may be spending your skills. You may be spending a position which you hold in the community, which enables you to facilitate the affairs of your fellow Muslims without taking advantage of anyone, or avoiding or destroying someone's right. they don't have, they have time, but they don't make enough effort to utilize this time. So they wind up conflicting or finding other engagements which conflict with the time of da'wah, so they no longer have time. And specifically those who can give da'wah, yani a person who's able to give da'wah and he's needed to travel somewhere, to go somewhere, or to meet some non-Muslim to give him da'wah, and they don't make the time for that. They're actually being stingy and miserly concerning the favors of Allah upon them. And so they don't get involved. That's one extreme. Whether you are a da'i or one who's in the process of becoming a da'i, giving time for the da'wah, showing the favors of Allah upon you. The other extreme, they will go out and do all of the da'wah, but for who? For the people. Not for the sake of Allah. For the reputation. For showing off. And this is what, this is unacceptable, this is sinful and harm and haram, and this is sinful and haram. And what is acceptable to Allah is that which is in between. That you appreciate the favors of Allah upon you by utilizing the skills which Allah gave you to help the Muslims or to guide the non-Muslims to Islam. And when you do so, you do it for the sake of Allah. Now naturally there will be a battle. Shaitan is not going to let you become sincere and watch on the sideline. As long as you give in da'wah, the shaitan is always, always playing with your head. Do it for this reason, do it for that reason, and you have to continuously battle him. So that you keep your niyyah for the sake of Allah. If you give up and surrender, he will override you. And your niyyah will go down the drain. And so in many cases we ask Allah to rectify our condition and guide us to the path. Da'wah becomes a habit. Da'wah becomes a habit. And it becomes numbers. Oh brother, I've given 15 shahadas. How many shahadas have you given? MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Is this what it is? Is it about numbers? Do you know whether Allah accepted any of this da'wah? Show me a receipt. Show me a receipt that says congratulations. Allah accepted 5 of these 15. Can't do it. So one person may give da'wah all his life, and no one embraces Islam, or one person embraces Islam, is superior to Allah than one who 10,000 people became Muslim through him. Why? The niyyah. One was just going for it for whatever reason. He wants numbers. He wants to be known. He wants to be seen. And the other one just wants Allah to accept his deed. So we don't want to get stuck with figures. We have to be very careful. Always revisit our niyyah. And if we find that there's some sort of obstacle, then we return to Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ taught us a dua which we should memorize and apply. If one fears that the disease of showing off is overtaking him, then you say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika shay'an wa ana a'lam wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika shay'an wa ana a'lam wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. Allah, I seek refuge with you, that I shall associate partners with you while I know, and I seek forgiveness of you for that which I've done while not knowing. This is the cure for showing off. Bi-ithnillahi azza wa jal, according to the instructions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ala kulli hal, whosoever strives, Allah will not abandon them. It is not mission impossible, as some of the Sufis say. Some of the Sufis make it impossible. They say, if you believe that you have reached sincerity, then you need another sincere niyyah for that thought. Yani they make sincerity something which is undoable or unreachable. And that's not how it is. That is not how it is. Beautiful. So then this is what we learn concerning sincerity. Right. فَإِنَّهُ نَعْمُ فَكَذَلِكَ مَنْ أَنْفَقَ وَتَعَبَّدَ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. Similarly, whosoever spends and enslaves himself for other than Allah, فَإِنَّهُ آثِمٌ عَاصٍ لِرَبِّهِ مُسْتَوْجِبٌ لِلْعُقُوبَةِ. He is also sinful, disobedient to his Lord, and he is necessitating upon himself punishment. مُسْتَوْجِب is like making it inevitable. that he is punished. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لأن الله إنما أمر بطاعته وامتثال أمره على وجه الإخلاص. Because Allah commanded that you obey Him, that and you fulfill His command while being sincere. Who can give us an ayah from the Quran wherein Allah commanded us to be sincere? Abdul Majid, you cannot read it and tell us, because it's written in front of you. Actually, I was thinking of this ayah and another ayah. Who can think of one ayah from the Quran, Abdul Aziz, that wherein Allah commanded ikhlas? MashaAllah. One by one, ya Jama'ah. Ha, brother? Surah Al-Bayna. Do you have Surah Al-Bayna memorized? Yes? Quote the ayah which has the word mukhlisin. Hey, give me the whole ayah. Give me the whole ayah. Which ayah has the word mukhlisin? Do you have it? Huh? Just give me the ayah. Don't tell me one number. Read it. Wama. Hunafa. ويقيم الصلاة ويؤتي الزكاة وذلك دين القيمة. إذن وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين. They were only commanded to worship Allah while being sincere to Him in their religion. Surah Az-Zumar has it maybe 4 to 5 times. اعبدوا الله لا قل إني أمرت أن help me out. Surah Az-Zumar. مخلصا له ديني. This is one. There's another one. ألا لله الدين الخالص. That's the second one. Not this one. على كل حال سورة الزمر, and I cannot recall them right now, الحمد لله. على كل حال, maybe 4 to 5 آيات, strict command. Strict command from Allah to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم about being sincere to him in the religion. قل إن أمرت أن أعبد الله مخلصا له ديني. Hey, this is in Surah Az-Zumar. But 3 to 5 at least. So then this is an evidence that Allah Azza wa Jal commanded that you be sincere in the deen. You don't do it for other reasons. You don't do it for other objectives and goals. كما قال تعالى وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين. نعم. فهذا العمل المقبول الذي يستحق صاحبه المدح والثواب. This is then the acceptable deed. Which Allah Azza, which whose doer deserves praise and good reward. فَلِهَذَا حَثَّ تَعَالَى عَلَيْهِ. This where Allah encouraged it by saying, وَمَاذَا عَلَيْهِمْ لَوْ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Oh, this is the next ayah. نعم, ayah 39. وَمَاذَا عَلَيْهِمْ لَوْ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَأَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَهُمُ اللَّهِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِهِمْ عَلِيمًا. Let's see the interpretation of the meaning in English. And what loss have they if they had believed in Allah and in the last day, and they spend out of what Allah has given them for sustenance, and Allah is ever all-knowing of them. The Shaykh said, أي شيء عليهم وأي حرج ومشقة تلحقهم لو حصل منهم الإيمان بالله الذي هو الإخلاص وأنفقوا من أموالهم التي رزقهم الله وأنعم بها عليهم. What is preventing them, in other words? Because sometimes it's difficult to translate verbatim from Arabic to English and vice versa, because the languages are not the same. The sentence structure is not the same. Many different aspects of the language, even the vocabulary is not the same, because each word has many synonyms, and not every word, not any synonym can fit in a particular sentence. That's why translation, specifically in da'wah, is not really easy. Because you may know one meaning for one word, but that one word has 20 meanings, and the meaning which you want is only one of these 20. The other 19 are simply don't fit. They don't fit in that context. So, yani not everything is easily translated. In Arabic you say, أي شيء عليك, which means, you know, what is wrong? What would be wrong if I did this? You see what I'm saying? And now if you said Aisha, it wouldn't make sense. If you translated word for word. This is why you have to be careful of who? Sheikh Google. You know Sheikh Google? You don't know Sheikh Google? They call him Sheikh Google. Supposedly he's a sheikh. He's a wicked sheikh between you and I. He has a lot of bad stuff on there. And he's dumb. And he's really dumb. Because I'll give you an example. Put any word in Arabic and let him translate it to English. Then that same translation, put it back in English and let him translate it to Arabic. The Arabic which you will come with is different than the one you put in the first time. Obviously. Because it's impossible to translate the figure of speech, figurative language, metaphors, similes at times. It is not, you cannot. Proverbs in people's languages, idioms, there's no way you can translate them because if they're not literal, you cannot look at them in a sense. So it's many people now, businesses, they think they've done well, yani, and you can tell. You give them something, they say, look, this is the translation, and you read the first few words, they say, look, this is Sheikh Google, I don't accept it. Okay, I'm not going to review or revise something Sheikh Google translated because I'll have to translate it all over again. One word, mafi mushkila. Two words, maybe. What, a sentence? Never. So don't think you're smart by using Sheikh Google and think that you've, you know, made it to the next level in translation. Now you're being tricked, akhi. Be careful of him. Ala kulli hal. وَأَيُّ حَرَجٍ وَمَشَقَّةٍ. And what sin and hardship would they acquire had they only believed in Allah, which is sincerity. وَأَنْفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ الَّتِي رَزَقَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَأَنْعَمَ بِهِ عَلَيْهِمْ. And they spent of the wealth which Allah Azza wa Jal had bestowed upon them. Allah has sustained them with it. And He bestowed His favors upon them with this wealth. What is preventing you, Yaqi, from doing it for the sake of Allah? Yani, this is like a rhetorical question. What prevents you from spending 5 riyals in the sake of Allah? Why do you have to include showing off? What benefit is it going to bring you? Nothing. The people say, oh, mashallah, is very generous. And is that going to help you on Yawm al-Qiyamah? No. This is why it comes in some of the hadith, authentic hadith, that on the day of resurrection, those who used to show off, Allah will say to them, go to the people whom you used to show off for and see if you can get your reward from them. The people you were doing these for, go to them and let them give you ajr, which Allah was supposed to give you, and obviously no one is going to give you anything. In fact, they will run away from you. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. He will run away from his own brother, let alone a stranger. He's going to say, who are you? He said, I'm the guy who's beautifying my salah and the message for you. He said, I don't even remember you, man. I didn't even see you. You thought he was looking at you. Your salah now is miya miya. He doesn't even know you in the masjid. So the shaitan plays silly games and tricky games with us. And if we fall trap, Allah, we go. Ya akhi, forget him whether he is there or not. Don't worry, your salah is between you and Allah. Don't fix it because people are looking at you. Specifically when they may not, regardless, not specifically, and very often they don't even recognize your existence in the masjid. So you go, Yawm al-Qiyamah, and say, I was beautifying my salah for you. He says, who are you? I don't even remember you. So this is the major loss because of what? A fine line between showing off and sincerity. وَلَمَّا كَانَ الْإِخْلَاصِ سِرًّا بَيْنَ الْعَبْدِ وَبَيْنَ رَبِّهِ لَا يَطَّلِعُ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. And when sincerity was the secret between the slave and his master, none sees it except Allah. أَخْبَرَ تَعَالَى بِعِلْمِهِ بِجَمِيعِ الْأَحْوَالِ. Allah informed us about His knowledge of all the various affairs and circumstances and scenarios. فَقَالَ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِهِمْ عَلِيمًا. Verily Allah concerning them is all-knowing. Meaning, don't think because it's very deep in the heart and Allah doesn't know about it. No, this is all, it's all known to Allah. إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْسِرَّ. There's one in Surah Taha and one in Surah Al-A'la. The one in Surah Al-A'la is what? إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْجَهْرَ وَمَا يَخْفَى. Right? Right or wrong? Surah Al-A'la. You're doubtful, the one in Surah Taha is different, but they're confusable. The one in Surah Taha, إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَمَا يَخْفَى. صح ولا لا؟ هو سلطان memorized. طيب على كل حال, there's a slight variation between them. Anyways, Allah knows the secret and what is beyond that. يعني the thing which you hide from everyone, this is common knowledge known to Allah Azza wa Jal. The people don't see it, Allah Azza wa Jal knows of it all. Ayah 40, 41 and 42. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله لا يظلم مثقال ذرة وإن تك حسنة يضاعف ويؤت من لدنه أجرا عظيما فكيف إذا جئنا من كل أمة بشهيد وجئنا بك على هؤلاء شهيدا يومئذ يود الذين كفروا وعصوا الرسول لو تسوى بهم الأرض ولا يكتمون الله حديثا. How will it be then when we bring from each nation? No, surely Allah wrongs not even of the weight of an atom. And back then, a dharra was a small ant. Because obviously they did not know of atoms yet. This atom was discovered, I believe, after the microscope, when they were able to see, you know, into the cells and whatever, they discovered the nucleus and all these things. But before that, in the, amongst the Arabs, the smallest thing which they can refer to would be an ant. Okay? So when they would use dharra, it actually meant an ant. But the term dharra encompasses other meanings like the term atom. So now they use atom in modern translations, even though that shouldn't be the case. Or at least they should put ant between parentheses. No, ant as the regular word and atom between parentheses. Why? Because the language, the Quran was revealed to what the Arabs understood back then. And what they knew back then was an ant, not an atom. So we shouldn't twist it around. We should not twist it around. Now, so Allah surely wrongs not even the weight of an ant or an atom, between parentheses, but if there's any good done, He doubles it and gives from Him a great reward. How will it be then when we bring from each nation a witness and we bring you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as the witness against these people? On that day, those who disbelieved and disobeyed the Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, will wish that they were buried in the earth, but they will never be able to hide a single fact from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the Shaykh said, يخبر تعالى عن كمال عدله وفضله وتنزهه عما يضاد ذلك من الظلم القليل والكثير. Allah informs us of the perfection of His justice and His favors, and that He is free from anything which negates that, of oppression or wronging someone, be it a lot, abundant, or a little. Doesn't matter how small or insignificant. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ النَّاسَ شَيْئًا. Now Allah does not wrong the people anything, in anything, at all. وَلَكِنَّ النَّاسَ أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. But people themselves wrong. They wrong themselves. فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ. Allah does not wrong, not even the equivalent of an ant. أَيْ يَنْقُصُهَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِ عَبْدِي أَوْ يَزِيدُهَا فِي سَيَدِي. Meaning Allah will not deduct from the good deeds of a slave, nor will He increase in his sins. كما قال تعالى فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. And many people do not recite this ayat correctly. It is to be known to all, for all those of you learning Tajweed, or who have already learned Tajweed, that when a word ends with ta marbuta or with a ha, you must pronounce the ha. So you say sharayyara, not yara, because that distorts the meaning and it changes it. Al-haqqa, al-qari'ah, narun hamiyah, ala al-af'idah, muttali'ah. That ha must be pronounced at the end. Whether the words end with ta marbuta, it will be pronounced as a ha, or it naturally ends with a ha. Like this one. Khayran yara wa sharran yara. And many imams, may Allah guide them, they don't bother. Say, big deal. Well, it is a big deal. It's the speech of Allah and you better stick to it and recite it as taught by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when you lead people to salah, when you're praying by yourself, or when you're teaching other people, make sure you emphasize this. Okay? You pronounce the ha at the end of this word. وَإِن تَكُ حَسَنَةً يُضَاعِفْهَا. And if it is a good deed, Allah will double it. أي إلى عشرة أمثالها. The good deed is multiplied up to what? 10 times minimum. 10 times minimum. Any good deed you do is automatically multiplied by 10. Subhanallah. Even the harf of the Quran is multiplied by 10. Now, إلى أكثر من ذلك. Beyond that, in fact, it goes beyond that. It said minimum is 10. بحسب حالها ونفعها وحال صاحبها إخلاصا ومحبة وكمالا. Depending on what though? It could be multiplied way beyond that, depending on the condition of this good deed and the benefit which it produces, and the condition of the doer of the good deed, and his sincerity, his love, and this level of perfection he strives for while doing this deed. All of these will determine the level of that ajr, or that multiplication of the deed. It could be minimum 10, it could be 20, 50, 100, 700 and more. It's up to Allah Azza wa Jal. Wallahu ghani, and Allah is the all rich. Wallahu dhul fadl al-azim, Allah is the possessor of the great bounty. Meaning nothing can limit Allah Azza wa Jal. هذا رزقنا. So Allah said to Dawood or Sulaiman, this is our sustenance, so spend. There's nothing that you don't fear anything, because Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who gives endlessly, subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب. وَيُؤْتِ مِنْ لَدُنْهُ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Allah will give up from Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, a great reward. أي زيادة على ثواب العمل بنفسه من التوفيق لعمل لأعمال أخر وإعطاء البر الكثير وخير الغزير. Not only that, not only in terms of figures or numbers, rather Allah will also, besides the ajr, the reward of good, the good reward which the person receives, Allah will facilitate for him the establishment of other good deeds. Yani it is not limited to this good deed and the reward for it, no, rather Allah will facilitate other things which the person can benefit from, and other good deeds, and Allah Azza wa Jal will give a lot of a lot of reward and an abundance of goodness from him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah 41. ثم قال تعالى فكيف إذا جئنا من كل أمة بشهيد وجئنا بك على هؤلاء شهيدا. So how is it then when we bring from every nation a witness and we will bring you a witness over these people. أي كيف تكون تلك الأحوال. How will these affairs be. وكيف يكون ذلك الحكم العظيم الذي جمع أن من حكم به كامل العلم كامل العدل كامل الحكمة بشهادة أزكى الخلق وهم الرسل على أممهم مع إقرار المحكوم عليهم. So how would it be then when this great judgment belongs to the one who decreed أن من حكم به كامل, and the one who will judge is one who is perfect in knowledge, perfect in justice, perfect in wisdom, a according to the testimony of the best of creation, who are the messengers upon their nations, while their nations admit that they were, you know, the message had been delivered to them. فَهَذَا وَاللَّهِ الْحُكْمُ الَّذِي هُوَ أَعَمُّ الْأَحْكَامُ وَعَدَلُ وَعَظَمُ. The Shaykh said, وَاللَّهِ by Allah, this hukum, this judgment is the most encompassing of all judgments and the most just and the greatest of them all. وَهُنَاكَ يَبْقَى الْمَحْكُومُ عَلَيْهِمْ مُقَرِّينَ لَهُ. And there those who have been judged, they will admit and will testify to the judgment against them. This is why the ulama say at the end of Surah Al-Zumar, it ends with وَقِيلَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. They say this is even the statement of the kuffar, yani the kafir, after he knows that he will enter Jahannam eternally, he will say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, because he knows in the depth of his heart that Allah Azza wa Jal only treated him with what he deserves. Yani no one will enter Jahannam while believing that they were wronged or oppressed. Even the kafir, the disbeliever, in his heart, he will recognize and internalize the fact that he deserved it. And his statement will be, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, all praises due to Allah, the Lord of everything, because he was not wronged. Rather, he wronged himself. Now, فَبِكَمَالِ فِي الْفَضْلِ وَالْعَدْلِ وَالْحَمْدُ وَالثَّنَى. With the perfection in of virtue, of justice, of praise and honor. وَهُنَالِكَ يَسْعَدُ أَقْوَامٌ بِالْفَوْزِ وَالْفَلَاحِ وَالْعِزِّ وَالنَّجَاحِ. There, some people will be content and will be happy with victory, success, honor, and again, najah is to pass them, like an examination. Najah fil ikhtibar, meaning he passed the examination. It's almost synonymous with fawz. وَيَشْقَى أَقْوَامٌ بِالْخِزْيِ وَالْفَضِيحَةِ وَالْعَذَابِ الْمُهِينِ. While other, a group of people will be wretched, with humiliation, with embarrassment, and being exposed, and the humiliating punishment. The last ayah which we will address today, barakallahu feekum. وَلِهَذَا قَالْ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَعَصَوُوا الرَّسُولِ. On that day, those who disbelieved and disobeyed the messenger will wish, أَيْ جَمَعُوا بَيْنَ الْكُفْرِ بِاللَّهِ وَبِرَسُولِهِ وَمَعَصِيَةِ الرَّسُولِ. Their common feature was that they brought a relation between disbelief in Allah and His Messenger and disobeying the Messenger. لَوْ تُسَوَّى بِهِمُ الْأَرْضِ أي تبتلعهم ويكونون ترابا وعدما. Meaning they wish that the earth will swallow them. They will become even with the earth, meaning they will become part of the earth. Who can give us an ayah from the book of Allah which alludes to the same teaching? ويقول الكافر يا ليتني كنت ترابا. And the disbeliever say, oh, how I wish I was nothing but dust. إذن, the same thing will happen according to this ayah. كما قال تعالى ويقول الكافر يا ليتني كنت ترابا. ما في مشكلة. ولا يكتمون الله حديثا. And they will not be able to hide anything or any facts from Allah. أي بل يقرون بما عملوا وتشهد عليهم ألسنتهم وأيديهم وأرجلهم بما كانوا يعملون. Meaning they will testify and admit what they used to do, and their tongues and their hands and their feet will bear witness to that which they used to do. Which surah, which ayah speaks of that in the Quran? How many here are from the subcontinent? Don't tell me you don't have Surah Yaseen memorized. Because I know that Surah Yaseen is almost specifically holy, you know, and that it's for the dead and for the grave and for everything Surah Yaseen. So usually you should have it memorized, because it's read almost every Jum'ah. I've seen many very often, even in the Middle East, people recite it on Jum'ah, before Kaf, after Kaf, based on weak fabricated narrations. There's nothing, not even a single authentic hadith about Surah Yaseen, for your information, nothing. It's a surah like the surah of the Quran. Nevertheless, which ayah speaks of that? الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أيديهم وتشهد أرجلهم بما كانوا يكسبون ولو نشاء لطمسنا على أعينهم فاستبقوا الصراط فأنى يبصرون آخر الآيات. So when Allah said on that day we will seal their mouths وتكلمنا أيديهم and their hands will speak to us وتشهد أرجلهم and their feet will be witness بما كانوا يكسبون that which they used to earn. So that is what we're learning in this ayah as well. يَوْمَئِذٍ يُوَفِّيهِمُ اللَّهُ دِينَهُمْ Allah Azza wa Jal will recompense them on that day what they deserve. جَزَاءَهُمُ الْحَقِّ Their reward will be nothing but truth. وَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّ اللَّهُ وَالْحَقُّ الْمُبِينَ And they will know in the depth of their heart that Allah is the one, the true, the evident, subhanah. فَأَمَّا مَا وَرَدَ مِنْ أَنَّ الْكُفَّارَ يَكْتُمُونَ كُفْرَهُمْ وَجُحُودَهُمْ As for what has been mentioned in some of the ayat and narrations, that the disbelievers will conceal their disbelief and that they will deny. فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ يَكُونَ فِي بَعْضِ مَوَاضِعِ الْقِيَامَةِ This will be in only some of the phases of the day of resurrection. Not all the time. At some point they will deny, then they will admit. Because you read the Quran, some ayat say that they will deny. And some ayat say that they will admit. So how do we bring relation? The day of judgment and the day of recompense is at various phases and stages. So they will deny at some point and admit at other points. This is how we bring a relation between both teachings. حين يظنون أن جحودهم ينفعون عذاب الله. They will deny while thinking that denier will be able to save him from the punishment of Allah. فإذا عرفوا الحقائق وشاهدت عليهم جوارحهم But once they know the truth and their limbs, their body parts will bear witness against them, حينئذ ينجلي الأمر. Then the matter will become clear and evident. ولا يبقى للكتمان موضع ولا نفع ولا فائدة. Then concealment and hiding and denying will have no place, no room for it, no benefit, and nothing to gain out of it. So with this, inshallah ta'ala, we stop. The very next ayah is very interesting concerning intoxication, and this is one of the stages of the prohibition. In the prohibition of intoxicants, and because we went through three stages in Islam before drinking wine and their likes became impermissible. So inshallah next week it will be inshallah we will deal with that ayah and the interesting teachings and the abrogation and nasikh wal mansukh which we have addressed before but it's good revision. Until then we say wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.